mightily, so powerfully, that she was weeping and she was crying out, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. God, I need to be saved. God, I need you. One friend of ours said she's never, ever to this day, never heard a more genuine, authentic, moving cry to be saved than what Kelly's was. And so the pastor invited her forward, and my brother Keith at the same time raised his hand, and he said, I'm gonna lead you in a prayer of repentance to accept Jesus. And by the time they were done with the prayer, he says, well, I would ask you if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but you both are up here praying in tongues already. Okay? Okay. So it didn't follow the format. It just happened. Okay? And so did it happen like that all the time? No. In 2 weeks apart, mine happened one way, theirs happened another. And we find some evidence of that in the Bible, that it didn't always happen the same way, and it didn't happen to everybody the same. And some of the hard and fast rules that people make don't really apply based on that understanding. Like, everybody has to if they're going to be a good Christian and all that stuff. So we're going to just talk a little bit, because I believe as a disciple of Jesus, and as the disciples in the Bible had, the Holy Spirit isn't optional, okay? It's just the degrees and measures of the Holy Spirit that are available to us. Sometimes it all becomes cloudy. And so I'm going to try to bring some clarity to that. If we talk about the disciples in the Gospels, we can see that in Luke 10, this is men who are following Jesus' first experience of hosting the Holy Spirit, because he gathers 72 people together and he says, go out and preach the gospel in my name, and watch what happens, basically. And they come back, they're going, God, this is crazy. Demons are being cast out in your name. People are being healed and delivered and set free. And we're praying in your name, and power is being released. Now, we understand that the name of Jesus is the authority by which the Holy Spirit was flowing through these people. But the Holy Spirit wasn't in them yet, Scott. They weren't saved. No, but the Holy Spirit was on them enough that miracles were happening. Okay? That was a manifestation of the Spirit of God resting on people before they were even saved. So God can do that, right? Just checking, make sure God can do that, okay? Can't be disqualified for not being saved. Holy Spirit, they had good intentions. We see something similar happen in the life of Cornelius, but we won't go there right now because I want to get through some scriptures pretty quick. So we're going to talk about what Jesus taught. Look to John 4, the Gospel of John, chapter 4. And this is the story, verse 13 is what we're going to look at. But this is the story where Jesus is at a well. He meets a woman at the well. The woman talks about getting a drink. And Jesus says to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. He's talking about the well. But whoever drinks the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Okay, fountain springing up into everlasting life. Water, signifying the Holy Spirit. We've covered that recently, that in Scripture, oftentimes the Holy Spirit is referred, water is a symbolic understanding, a symbolic representation of the Holy Spirit. He said, it'll spring forth unto eternal life. Modern vernacular. If you believe who I am, you get saved. You receive the Holy Spirit unto salvation. A fountain springs up unto eternal life. Different translation, you get saved because the Holy Spirit is the one who saves you in Jesus' name. Okay? Flowing so far? Okay, go three chapters forward. John 7. Now, these are two different things, two different times Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit doing something. In this one, he's at a great feast, and in verse 37, this is kind of bizarre, but it says that on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. So I got a big party going on. Everybody's celebrating, having a great time. And in the middle of the party, Yeshua jumps up and says, hey, everybody, if anybody's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. I'm just thinking he might have caused a little disturbance at the party, because that really wasn't protocol. Didn't matter. But it's a thought, if you come to me and drink, you thirst, come to me and drink. Okay? Now, the next thought. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now, punctuation always is an issue when we look at scripture because it wasn't in the original text. And so many people will say, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water. That's not what it's saying. That's not the proper emphasis on the wrong syllable, okay? It's whoever believes in me as the scripture has said, whoever believes that I am, who has been prophesied for these thousands of years, there'll be an opportunity for you to receive something. And that something you'll receive will be like a river of living water. Now, he who believes in me as the scripture says, believes what's been written and prophesied. And then verse 39 says, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. The Spirit was not yet given. Now, wait a minute. Think, the Spirit had descended on Jesus at his baptism, right? And it, like a dove, and it said it remained. The Spirit wasn't given. It also says that we just talked about in Luke, that 72 people walked around with the Holy Spirit on them, casting out demons and raising up the sick. The Holy Spirit wasn't given. In a specific way, the Holy Spirit wasn't yet given. It wasn't like he wasn't accessible and he wasn't present, but the fullness of what he was going to give was yet to transpire. Okay? Now, a new way, not yet seen, but soon to be revealed. He says, believe as the scripture says, and out of your belly flow the rivers of life. Now, this sounds similar to that chapter three chapters ago. But he said, one is a fountain that flows up unto eternal life. He said, the other, and he specifically, I believe the Holy Spirit directed John to say specifically, he was talking in this part about the Holy Spirit. And if you believe and receive this, it's not just a fountain unto eternal life. It's a river that flows out to other people. He's not talking about one experience. He's talking about two different experiences. One, a fountain that on the inside brings you eternal life. The second one, an encounter in Holy Spirit that flows out of you for others. One is for me to drink of. The other one is for me to give drinks to other people for. Now, a lot of people would want to debate whether, oh, is that really what I'm saying? I believe Jesus included these two experiences, describing them in two different ways on purpose. Both of them had water. One, a fountain and a river, two different things, right? I mean, Jesus knew that he described the Holy Spirit unto eternal life as a fountain three chapters ago. He knew what he taught, what he spoke. But he said, there's this other flow of the Holy Spirit that's available. Okay, now, in John 20:20, Jesus has been crucified and he's resurrected and he meets the disciples. We talked about this, you know, the Mary had seen him and other people had seen him and they didn't believe. And Jesus showed up and talked to him. And he showed them his hands and his side in verse 20. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you not forgive them, they're not forgiven. He breathed on them. And the inference here, the Spirit of God was in his breath. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now in the second Adam. See, all of humanity was dead. The first Adam brought death into the human race. And now the second Adam, the first Adam, and from God's perspective, you know, we understand the teaching, but their humanity continued to live, but their divinity, the divine purpose for that which they were created, was cut off because now they were, if you will, walking dead. Their bodies were alive, but the spirit inside was not. And in this moment, the first people that Jesus desired to be saved, God saved. This is their salvation experience. They received the Holy Spirit, and on the inside, they were born again. They received, they had been dead, and now they were alive. And we know the Spirit's work is in forgiveness, cleansing, regeneration, indwelling. They were buried with Christ and resurrected in newness of life. Okay. Now, to say they got saved or didn't get saved there, I believe if he said received the Holy Spirit and he sent them out, it was because that was their salvation experience. Let's fast forward to another, actually go backward in your Bible, but another encounter. Luke 24. Luke 24, he tells them in verse 48, "You are witnesses of these things," this is again after his resurrection. "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry or wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." He's talking to saved people who have received the breath of God through the Holy Spirit, the new life, to wait for something else. Isn't he? Okay. He goes so far as the account in Acts 1, it says that he was teaching them many things, but on one occasion in verse 4, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Jump down to verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Okay, he says, "You will be baptized in the Spirit." All right, you saved people who have received the Holy Spirit, there's another experience that's going to empower you in a far greater way than even what your salvation experience has empowered you. Now, I was trying to figure out, because there's a couple different words, and I found something really, I got to find what the guy's name was. He's a Greek historian, but I can't remember his name. He's a poet, I'm sorry. I'm not sure he says his name, but it's N-I-C-A-N-D-E-R, maybe Nicander. He lived at 200 B.C., okay? And he says the clearest example that shows the difference between these two words that I'm going to talk to you about, one is bapto, and one is baptismo. And he said somebody who's been bapto has been dipped. Okay? And his example was how you make pickles. Okay? I know. He says the vegetable should first be dipped, baptoed, into boiling water. And then baptizo in the vinegar solution. Both verbs concern the immersing of vegetables in a solution, but the first is a temporary in and out. The second, the act of baptizing a vegetable, produces a permanent change. You become pickled in the Spirit of God, saturated in that moment in a far different way. Two different experiences. One, you got dipped. The other, you got dipped and somehow soaked and immersed to where you soaked it up and it changed who you were and created something completely different. You were a cucumber, now you're a pickle. I'm a pickle for the Lord. Don't say that, it's pretty bad. Dad joke, okay. So Jesus tells them there's another experience coming, an empowering of the Spirit to allow them to demonstrate the kingdom. And then we see it happen in the day of Pentecost in the second chapter of Acts. We'll just look at that. I'll read it if you want real quick here. You don't have to go to it. But it says, "The day of Pentecost came. They're all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." So they were saved. Then they were baptized in the Spirit, two separate events, and a miracle happens where every person that's there, they all speak different language. This is the part that some people miss. Everybody's speaking all kinds of languages, but everybody there understood them in their own language. There wasn't an interpreter, and everybody wasn't speaking a different language. It doesn't say, I'm speaking this language, and that guy heard me, and Rod's speaking this language, and somebody heard him, and Joel's heard us. No, it doesn't say that. It says they were all speaking in tongues, and a miracle happened in people's hearing, that whatever language that people were speaking in, a tongue, everybody was hearing it in their own language. That was the miracle. There was two miracles. One, that they were speaking language that they never learned. Two, that everybody was hearing them in their own language. That'd be a wild party, right? That'd be a wild party. But I don't know. They're speaking my language. No, they're speaking my language. Wait a minute. You're hearing them in your? Yeah, I'm hearing them in mine. That would be a wild party. Now, so the disciples are speaking in tongues, and those of the crowd are hearing them. Now, somebody has said before, somebody hear this, but I got the Holy Spirit when I was born again. Yes, you did. You got a new spirit infused with him. He breathed upon you and gave you new life, eternal life, just life like God has it. You know, they'll say, having the Holy Spirit, the full Holy Spirit encounter is automatic for the new birth. Well, I'll just ask you this question. Why is it that Luke 11, Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? If it was automatic, why would you have to ask him? There's something more. The answer, obvious to me. There's something more. Couple examples here. We're in the book of Acts, so we'll look at a couple examples. In Acts 8, in verse 14, it says, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had not fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. They've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They've gotten saved. And then there was the second encounter that happened by the laying on of hands. Okay. In a little while, today, I'm going to probably ask you, if you have ever received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you've ever prayed in tongues, if you ever have used your prayer language to use your faith today to lay your hands on someone that they may receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and pray in tongues. Just letting you know. You get over the jitters now, because when I call on you and say, come on, do it, you'll be like, all right, I already processed this in my mind, and it's not too weird. I mean, let me say, it's not too weird. Anything's weird with God, okay? They laid their hands on somebody, and they spoke another language. Oh, that's not weird at all, you know? I mean, obviously, weird comes with the kingdom. The impartation came through the laying on of hands. In chapter 19, verse 1, it says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived in Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we've not even heard that there is the Holy Spirit. I'm going to stop right there for a minute. Isn't that something? This is the Apostle Paul. This is the guy who's more passionate about Jesus in his day than probably anybody, and has had more supernatural encounters. And when he meets a believer, the first thing he asks them is, have you received the Holy Spirit yet? That American kind of, it's optional or it's not optional. Here's my concern. This is from the very core of my being. Okay, this is the one thing that if I don't get anything else said today, beloved, our sons and daughters, if they don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we got trouble. Okay, if we don't raise a generation up who isn't bold in knowing and being willing to pray in a language they haven't learned, being willing to allow to trust that the Holy Spirit can use them in a mighty fashion, because I know the parental, you know, well, I don't want to force them, I don't want to rush them, I don't want to change. Look, man, the devil does. Amen. The devil wants to force them to call it dumb. He wants to force them to be afraid of standing out and looking silly because they pray in tongues. I mean, if you want to let him put the pressure on, and you go, well, maybe they'll get it, maybe they go out in their old timing. Or if you want to say, you know what, the world out there is full of the devil. The pressure of society right now is massive. The opportunity to sin is more available right now than it's ever been, ever. You can get the most crude, lewd, crazy things that you want with one click and immediately have your mind and your soul polluted with perversion at any age. And I'm telling you, if there's anything that you need to make sure that son, that daughter, that brother, that sister, whoever it is that you love and care for, that they have in their arsenal, it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The ability for them to build themselves up and pray that the Holy Spirit would guide them and lead them and keep them from all this garbage that's been released and available in this generation. Okay, so Paul asked them, what baptism did you receive? They said, John's baptism. And Paul said that was the baptism of repentance. But he told the people, believe in one coming after him, that is in Jesus. And on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So Paul meets these disciples. They've been baptized already. And his priority is get them baptized in the Holy Spirit. And why would he ask that question if the Holy Spirit was automatic already when they believed? I mean, he's asking it because he knows there's an additional experience. And so he puts his hands on them. You know, they say, I didn't know about him. He puts their hands on them, and they start praying in tongues and prophesying. And the thing that I want to say is that that's what the Holy Spirit does as the Holy Spirit wills. You know, sometimes we hear people trying to make hard and fast rules about the order that it must happen, and drawing what I consider faulty conclusions, like you can't be saved if you don't get baptized in water, and you, in order to be saved, you have to speak in tongues, and if you're not saved, and you can't be saved if you don't speak in tongues, or you can't speak in tongues until you've been baptized in water, and you know, there's just kind of people, it gets kind of too much in your brain, and we need to let God be God. Okay, we need to let God be God. We need to let God do it once in the order, but we need to be available at all times to let Him do it through us. See, and we don't need to be old school Pentecostals that just holler at them in tongues until they get it. Okay, that was kind of one of the old school ways you do it. We'll just get them, put them in a chair, and everybody shabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba until they finally get it. Okay, I don't shabba-dabba, and I don't do. Shabba-dabba-do. Okay? But we're going to talk a little bit about it because the excesses of it have caused some people to really be like, to shy away from it. You know, there's a protocol. There's a time for people to gather and pray in the Spirit, and there's a time to not. So I'm going to give you one example here in Acts 10. I actually spoke about Cornelius earlier, but in Acts 10, Cornelius, who's an officer, something called the Italian Regiment. So he was Roman Catholic, evidently. No, they didn't have Catholics yet. Okay, I'm just kidding. He was a military officer, and he was a Gentile. It says he was a devout, generous, God-fearing man. And he has a visitation from an angel. And this angel tells him, find Peter. So Peter, they hook up. They find a time to visit and talk. And Peter tells him about Christ's life, death, and resurrection. And in verse 44 of Acts 10, it says, Peter was still speaking these words. The Holy Spirit came upon all who heard the message. The circumcised believers, the Jew, who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They've received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. So the Holy Spirit falls on these people while the message is being preached. They start speaking in tongues, and they haven't even been baptized yet. Okay? Back to my original point there. The Holy Spirit doesn't need your permission to do things in the order that He desires to do them in. We just need to be sensitive to go, I believe the Holy Spirit wants everyone to have an encounter of empowerment to be to testify and to be witnesses unto the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the ability, so what we trust in, what our society is trusting in more often than not, is our intellect. We say, I'm saved, and we make whole denominational, doctrinal, theological presentations that because I'm saved and the Holy Spirit's in me, that's really all I need. And it's like, well, it's really all you need for you to go to heaven. I agree. But is it really all you need in a society where supernatural black magic, demonic powers, and intellect has been exalted and released freely into everybody who goes to school, anybody who turns on a television, anybody who clicks on a radio, where the airwaves and the billboards and the education is all just filled with all kinds of garbage? Do you not think that you somehow think your intellect is enough to combat all that? Your intellect is good, but the Holy Spirit's better. Your ability to be a great debater or a great philosopher or a great arguer or a great lawyer to make your case, that's wonderful. But I'm telling you, no one has ever been argued into accepting Jesus. No one has ever been outside of the Holy Spirit bringing revelation. There isn't somebody who's smart enough to get everybody saved. You know, Billy Graham wasn't smart enough to get everybody saved. Billy Graham was a man who had the Holy Spirit on him, and that anointing drew people to Jesus. And someone said, well, Billy Graham didn't believe in tongues. Well, you know what? I do. Jesus did. So did Paul. And Paul, it's a funny thing because the days of even, if you guys ever heard of Reinhard Bonnke, you guys know who Reinhard Bonnke is?
Yeah.
Okay. Reinhard Bonnke was a guy who was credited, he died recently, but he was credited with leading millions of people to the Lord in the continent of Africa. Right. And his last crusade was going to be in America. And I happened to meet him, was in some sessions with him, and talked to some friends and some people about him. But his coming to America was eye-opening for him. Because he was declaring, all America shall be saved. I've seen millions come to the Lord in Africa. I've seen millions come to the Lord in the nations of Africa. But he said, this is a different day. This is a different time. And there's a different spirit. Even in my life, and there's a few people older than me in here, but I know those of that are my age and older can say things are a lot different just in our lifetime. Some of you don't know, again, I'm a little nostalgic. When I was a child in the 60s and 70s, regularly, there was available on television 3 channels. And on regular annual, sometimes semi-annual times, all the channels would be broadcasting the Billy Graham Crusade. ABC, NBC, and CBS. Everybody in the nation, their televisions were listening to a man proclaim the gospel to a stadium full of people, and that was a normal Tuesday night happening. Okay. You think things have changed a little bit now? Could you even find that? Would it not be ridiculed? See, it is a different day, and the power of the Holy Spirit is more necessary now than it's ever been. Now, I'm going to look real quick in 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to try to get this really just. Paul is elaborating on the gifts of the Spirit and primarily tongues. And he teaches about these 9 gifts and he describes their diverse function and activity. And in verse 7, he says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Remember that part. He said, when these gifts function, when many stands up today and prophesied, there's a word of wisdom, somebody, a bone of contention, a relationship that God wants to heal, it's to profit others. It's not for many. Minnie did not prophesy for herself. She shared that word because the Holy Spirit's gifts operate for the common good, is what one says. Now, Paul, he also says the distribution, they said it, common good. Now, 2 chapters later, in 14, he speaks more about gifts. He says, pursue them. In 14:1, it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So he's already said there's 2 different. Somebody speaks in a tongue as a gift of the Spirit, and an interpretation happens. It's for everybody's edification. If you're speaking in a tongue, it's a mystery. It's to you and God speaking. There's 2 experiences. See, many people go, I don't believe in tongues because I've never seen an interpreter. Well, there's 2 different experiences. One experience is a corporate beneficial opportunity when, in a moment, Jenny's got this unburning desire. She has to stand up and say, Shandai bashoho toba bashite kanamanaha. And Kyle says, and God says, repent, Mike, and quit eating all them donuts. No, he wouldn't say that. He would say, he would say, you know, gather, come before me. I'm sorry. He's laughing at him, just so you know. No, he wouldn't say that. No, but Kyle says, I believe the Lord wants me to say that what Jenny just prophesied was that God is pleased with our worship, and today just pour your heart out in worship, okay? It's a corporate blessing. Everybody goes, yes, okay? But in a moment, we're excited because Jesus is, we're in our presence, and Pat just starts praying and worshiping in tongues, okay? Because the Holy Spirit's just flowing in her, and she's just praying in tongues. That's her spirit praying to God mysteries because she's just caught up in the spirit in the moment. And nobody has to interpret what she's saying because it's between her and God. It's two separate things that may sound a little bit alike, but they're totally different. One is for personal edification. Pat's praying to the Lord in a language because words, you just run out of words sometimes. And that's what you find out when you, I know this is going to sound weird, but I try to pray at least an hour a day in tongues every day. I don't always do it, but I try to take an hour a day and pray in tongues. Because I know that my mind, it says when I pray in tongues, my mind is unfruitful, but my spirit is fruitful. It edifies me on the inside. Sometimes if I let my mind pray, it just prays garbage. God, fix my wife and everybody else that's giving me trouble. You know, God's like, I don't know, fix something, but it ain't them. You know, okay, that's better, okay? I'm able to pray in an unknown language what ought to be prayed. Actually, it says the Spirit helps us with groanings. So, two different things. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the salvation experience, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then two different manifestations of tongues. One that needs an interpretation, and it goes on to say in there that if you're in a corporate gathering and there isn't an interpreter, just stay silent. In some old school meetings, they used to say, okay, we're just going to pick out today, Kevin and Jacqueline and Jude. You guys are interpreters, okay? So you guys are in the meeting, and if somebody stands up with a tongue, if you three don't have it, then they have to sit down. I mean, I don't know that that was right or wrong. I just know that that was one of the old school ways they did it. There's got to be an interpreter. If nobody's interpreting, then your worship, your praise in tongues is between you and God. Now, I've been in lots of meetings, and so I see it sometimes when people get really excited, and they just can't help themselves, and they just start shouting in tongues. Well, if it's in a corporate meeting, and they're all worshiping, and you can't tell what they're saying anyhow, you know what? There's grace for that. They ran out of English. Okay? But it's different than, in this moment, we're here and we're silent with Jesus, we love you. And Roger has to say, I got a tongue. I have to give it. And I'm like, well, Roger, you're stepping out, buddy. But somebody's going to have the interpretation. So you got to be willing in that moment to go, well, I think it's God, but if it's not, that's okay because nothing ventured, nothing gained. And then you find out Daniel over here's got the interpretation. He was just waiting for it. He says, I knew there was something in there, but I didn't know what it was. And then when I heard that tongue that you gave out, I knew I was supposed to tell everybody how beautiful Selena was. No, that wasn't. No. There we go. There we go. All right, there we go. That's something. Okay, so. Well, there's an encouragement going down that it says that let those who speak in tongues pray that he may interpret. He says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. And if you're in a gathering with people and you're just praying in tongues, the people that don't that are there in your midst, they have no idea what you're saying. It's not beneficial. But Paul says in a really profound way, he says, I will pray in the spirit and I will pray in my understanding. He said, I will pray in English and then I will pray in tongues. I will worship and I will sing in both. Okay, because it's all good when it's done unto the Lord. And if you understand that I'm singing in the spirit or I'm praying in the spirit, doesn't need to be interpreted, then you'd have to get freaked out when I just do that. I remember, when you're raised in a Lutheran, no one ever says anything about tongues. Anybody else other than me? I mean, the first time I heard about tongues was when I was in the day I got saved. And I didn't know what it was. I was too dumb to be talked into it because I didn't know what it was. If it wasn't God, it wasn't going to happen. And it happened because it was God. Now, I started to tell you earlier a story. Kelly got baptized in the Holy Spirit, as I said, right when she got saved. But, you know, when we got saved, we were drug addicts. We were crazy. It was all kinds of crazy stuff going on. God delivered us. He saved us. He healed us. He did all kinds of stuff in our life. But we had a lot of stuff to work through. So we're about, I don't know, maybe a month into it. And I said, Kel, what do you think about this? We're praying in tongues. I'm praying in tongues, and I'm thinking this is a crazy thing. But I'm just shabba-dabba-doing all the time, and I don't even know how I got this. It's just the Holy Spirit did it. I didn't have enough understanding to filter it yet. And she goes, yeah, I did it, but I'm not doing it anymore. I said, what do you mean? She goes, oh, I lost it. I had it, but I don't have it anymore. And I go, oh, well, let's figure out how to get it back. I don't know. So I go to my pastor. I'm like, hey, you know, I'm still praying in tongues, but my wife lost hers. Can you help get her back? She lost her Holy Spirit. Okay. And he said, no, she didn't lose it. But doubt has come into her mind. So the enemy has told her that what she had wasn't a gift, it was an award. And somehow she doesn't feel like she earns the award, and so she had to give it back. But she didn't. Just tell her she can still do it. So I just went home and said, well, you can still do it. And that took her a little bit of time, and you know, a few of my shandalais with her. But she was like, oh, really? So I never did really lose it? She said, no. I said, no, you never lose it. And she's been praying in tongues ever since, 38 years now, or 36 years now. And so if you somebody, because I know somebody here might say that, if you're somebody who says, well, I prayed in tongues once a long time ago, and it happened, and then I don't anymore, today is a new day for you. Because this is a time where we're going to start praying for people. And you may say, well, I don't do it. I don't know. Hopefully today, you're going to have to exercise your faith. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you have to use your vocal cords, your tongue. He doesn't grab a hold of your mouth and go, blah, 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 blah. That isn't going to happen. Okay? You, in faith, vocalize. And what science has shown us, this is really crazy. I love this. But you know how they use these scans now that can actually show you what part of your brain is activated when certain functions and things are going on? That's how they determine what part of your lobes access what part of functions. And they say when you're praying in tongues, it's a completely different part of your brain that's accessed than when you're normally speaking a language that you know. How about that? Only God, right? So here's the thing. It might get a little messy, might not. I'm not really that concerned with it. You know, we're all family. We love Jesus. Jesus loves us, and he wants us to have the Holy Spirit. And if you regularly pray, if you have the baptizing of the Holy Spirit, and you regularly or often pray in tongues, you're officially right now on the ministry team. Okay? That's you. This is going to take a little courage, because if you had it and felt like you lost it, or did it once, I can't do it anymore, or have always wanted to do it, and you wanted to receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit, what John and Jesus both said, baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. I like fire. Sometimes I just like to say the word fire. Fire! See, like that. I like to say that. Fire! Holy Spirit, fire! I just love that. I just picture tongues of fire on the apostles falling that day, and everybody, fire. I love fire. So we're going to pray. We're going to ask if today, you know, it might take a little boost from the Holy Spirit today. So that's why, in all seriousness, God loves you. God, the joy of the Lord is our strength, and the Spirit of God empowering you to be a witness is important for your life. He called you to be a witness and to testify, and his fire, his power on your life is one of those things that should not be optional, but it should be mandatory for you to receive the fullness of all that you have. So I'm going to pray real quick that God would grace you and give you courage, and then you'd step out, and we're going to pray. And you can just stand up right where you are. You don't have to come. So God, right now, if there's anybody in this room who that river, Lord, has dammed up, or anybody who has yet to experience that encounter, Lord, anybody here today, Lord, who might have done it but can't do it, or have always wanted to, but, Lord, it just didn't seem to connect. Today, Lord, I just thank you for their faith. Lord, our brother and our sister, we come alongside of them right now, and we say, God, allow them to receive this gift by faith that you so graciously give. In Jesus' name. Okay, so today, right where you are, if you're saying, I want that, I've not had it, and I fit into one of those categories, just stand up where you are. Want that Holy Spirit. Hang on, John. We're not going anywhere yet. Okay. Take a minute. You say, no. Because I'm going to assume everybody else is praying in tongues, okay? Just so you know. It's like, if you don't. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, if you're shy, I want to tell it to you this way. If you're shy, the Holy Spirit can still touch you where you are. Okay, we got two people that are standing up here. I want to get a couple people around him. Three. Ron's standing up there. Okay. All right. Now I want somebody to get a couple people to get around them. A couple of you that pray in tongues, get around them right now. There's Ron. There's Marlene. There's Kyle. Anybody else who wants to receive the Holy Spirit? Okay. I'm going to lead you in prayer, then I want you guys to begin to, and I just want you to listen to me. I'm going to try to just give you a little bit of coaching, okay? So, Father, we thank you for each of these right now. For anybody in our midst, Lord, who's putting a draw on you to receive the baptism of fire. Lord, right now we bless them. We thank you for their courage. And we thank you, Lord, that they're in our midst, our brothers and our sisters. And now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we say, baptize them. Holy Spirit, baptize them. Come upon them as we lay our hands on, just like Paul did to the believers in Ephesus. Lord, we lay our hands on them now, that you would come upon them and give them their prayer language. Come upon them, Lord, and bring forth just that river flowing from within. Now, you around them quietly, but I want you praying in the Spirit, and I'm going to, those that are receiving the Spirit right now, I want you to just take a deep breath in. Deep breath in. Breathe it out. And I want you to do it one more time. Deep breath in and out. Then for the third time. Now, you guys pray for them. Just get around, just pray for them, God, right now. And you, as you receive that, you give your vocal cords. You begin to right now just speak. It'd be just a syllable at first. Just one word, two words. Just say those two words. If it's one, two, three, just say those words and begin to say, I receive it. I receive it. And then say those words. I receive it. I receive it. And then release those words. I receive it. I receive it. Thank you, God. Thank you now, God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. That's it. That's it right there. Thank you, Father. Yes. You just give your vocal cords to it. That's all you got to do. And you've got the volume knob on your hands, okay? You can do it soft or you can do it loud, but each of you who's being prayed for right now, those couple syllables are going to increase as you're using them in faith. Thank you, God. And the rest of us who aren't praying for them, our hands are right now, just pray, you know, where you are right now, God, that your Holy Spirit would seal this thing, God. Lord, that the enemy had sought to resist this, but God, they stepped out today and you met them. And even as you meet them, Lord, that they have a fresh infilling, Lord, and a new empowerment, God, to testify and to be your witnesses. Lord, we bless them today. Use your vocal cords and keep doing it. We're going to give this to you a couple more minutes. We're not going to run off on you. We're actually going to say, do it some more. Thank you, God, for the gift. The Holy Spirit, the evidence in speaking in tongues. Thank you today, God, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit in a prayer language for each of these, Lord, that allows them to utter mysteries to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your empowerment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And don't be worried if you don't have a whole bunch of syllables, because sometimes you'll get two or three, and when you use them by faith, they'll turn into four or five, and you keep using those, and it'll turn into it'll go from a small drip to a flowing river as you exercise your faith and do this faithfully. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we all just stand now? And we're just going to lift our hands. We're going to take a moment and thank God for his Spirit in our midst. We're going to thank God for his power, blessing our brothers and our sisters today. Just all of us together, just as we stand and raise our hands. God, we love you. And we just thank you, God, that you are moving in our midst, that there is more to come. God, that today was like a kiss of first fruits, God, but we believe there's more of the manifestation of your power with gifts, with signs, and with wonders, Lord. And we say yes, God. We want to be, our hands are outstretched to you, God, saying, Lord, we want all that you have. We bless you and we thank you today for it, God. And each of these today, Lord, may your peace and your power, your presence, Lord, continue, your protection continue to increase, Lord, that you would draw them out into the supernatural lifestyle you have for each of us. And Lord, as we dismiss, I just pray, God, that you would bless our fellowship today, bless our food, our time together, that you would be exalted in our midst, God, for your kingdom, for your glory. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Now, real quick, yeah, praise Jesus. We you can praise him. That's good. I want to remind everybody that next week we have a special. Our friends from Brazil are going to be here next week sharing. So Pastor Luis and Pastor Adriani, and they have a word they feel like for us. So just come with your hearts ready. They really walk in some anointing. We've had them for friends with them for several years, and it'll be an awesome time. So God bless you. See you downstairs for lunch. Amen.